Welcome to Zichud Av Siman Mem, I'm Avram Goldhari, and today we're Maseches Pesachim, Daf Lamed Daled. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, while Abaye Bar Avin and Rav Chananya Bar Avin were learning Maseches Trumos in the Academy of Rabbah, Rabbah Bar Masna asked him the following question of the ninth parak. It says in the Mishnah, Shesilei Trumos Shenitma'u Ushasalam, Truma plants that became Tamei and then were replanted. Tahori Mila Tamei Ba'asurin Mila Echol. They're taur with regard to being matame other things, but they're prohibited to eat. He asked that if they're taur with regard to being matame other things, why they're prohibited to cotton to eat? Abayim Rav Chananya said to him, the Rabbah explained that asurin melecho does not mean to kohanim, but rather that they are asurin lazarin, they're prohibited to non-kohanim, since they retain their status as truma. Rashi explains later that this is the Rabbanan that was decreed to prevent non-kohanim from depriving kohanim of their truma by converting it into chun through replanting. Rabbah Bar Masna challenged them when he demonstrated that the Mishnah doesn't need to teach us since it's learned from another Mishnah. Point number two, Rabbah Bar Masna said that Rav Sheshes answered his original difficulty by explaining that they are prohibited to eat was referring to being prohibited to the Kohanim, hoyel v'ipsuluhu b'hesachadas, since they became invalid through inattention. This is derived from the pasuk regarding Truma that states, Mishmeres Trumasai, which means that the Kohanim have been given the responsibility to safeguard Truma and Kachim as well, from becoming Tameh, and this requires one not to allow his attention to lapse in this guarding. Since these plants became Tameh, it can be assumed that the Kohen stopped guarding them against further exposure to Tumah, and therefore they became rendered invalid. Therefore, even though the Tumah is removed through the replanting, they remain invalid to eat. The Gemara brings a Malchus about Hesek Hadas. Rabbi Yochanan says, Psul Tumah Havet. It's a Psul caused by the possibility of Tumah. If, therefore, Eliyahu would come and pronounce that the truma never became tamei, it will be permitted to eat it. Reish Lakish says it's psul haguf havet. It's a psul in the truma itself. Therefore, even if Eliyahu would come and say that the truma never became tamei, it would still be forbidden to eat, since the truma is invalid regardless of whether it required tumah. Rav Sheshes' answer only works according to Reish Lakish, because according to Rabbi Yochanan, the truma becomes mutter to eat once the truma is removed after planting it. Point number three: Rabbi Yirmi rejected Rav Sheshes' teaching and explained that water for the chag that became tamei only becomes tahor if hishikin va'achar kach hikdishan. One first brought it into contact with a mikvah, and only afterwards it was makdishan. The water being brought into contact with the water is a form of planting, so to speak, which removes its tumah status. Yet, the Rabbanim were stringent and said that it's not effective for water of kachim. Here too, regarding plants of truma, we should say that ein zriya l'truma. Planting in the ground is not effective in removing the tumah of truma, since the Rabbanim impose a greater stringency on the truma. So once again, the three points are: number one, while Abaye Bar Avin and Rav Chananya Bar Avin were learning Maseches Trumos in the Academy of Rabbah, Rabbah Bar Masna asked him the following question from the ninth parak. It says in the Mishnah, Shesilei Trumos Shenitpu Shesalon, truma plants that became tame and then were replanted, Tahorim Mulatame Ba'asurin Melecho. They're tar with regard to being matame other things, but they're prohibited to eat. He asked that if they're tar with regard to being matame other things, why are they prohibited for a Kohen to eat? Abaye and Rav Chananya said to him that Rabbah explained that asurin melecho does not mean to kohanim, but rather there are asurin lazarim, the prohibited to non-kohanim, since they retain their status as truma. Rashi explains here that this is the Rabbanan that was decreed to prevent non-kohanim from depriving kohanim of their truma by converting it into chuan through replanting. Rabbah Bar Masna challenged him when he demonstrated that the Mishnah does not need to teach this since it's learned from another Mishnah. Point number two, Rabbah Bar Masna said that Rav Sheshes answered his original difficulty brought above by explaining that they are prohibited to eat was referring to being prohibited to the Kohanim, hoyel v'ipsuluhu b'hesachadas, since they became invalid through inattention. This is derived from the pasuk regarding Truma that states, Mishmeres Trumasai, which means that the Kohanim have been given the responsibility to safeguard Truma and Kachim as well from becoming Tamei, and this requires one not to allow his attention to lapse from this guarding. Since these plants became tame, it can be assumed that the Kohen stopped guarding them against further exposure to Tumah, and therefore they became rendered invalid. Therefore, even though the Tumah is removed through the replanting, they remain invalid to eat. The Gemara brings them out Chokas about Hesek Hadas. Rabbi Yochanan says, Psul Tumah Havet. It's a Psul caused by the possibility of Tumah. If, therefore, Eliyahu would come and pronounce that the Tumah never became tame, then I'll be permitted to eat it. Reish Lakish says, Psul Haguf Havet. It's a Psul in the Tumah itself. Therefore, even if Eliyahu would come and say the truma never became tamei, it would still be forbidden to eat it since the truma is invalid regardless of whether it acquired tuma. Rav Sheshes' answer only works according to Reish Lakish, because according to Rav Yochanan, the truma becomes mutter to eat once the tuma is removed after planting it. And point number three, Rabbi Yirmi rejected Rav Sheshes' teaching, and he explained that water for the chag that became tameh only becomes tahor if hishikan va'achakach hikdishan. One first brought it into contact with the mikveh, and only afterwards was makdish it. The water being brought into contact with the water is a form of planting, which removes its tumah status. Yet, the Rabbanim were stringent and said that it's not effective for water of kadshim. Here too, regarding plants of truma, we should say that ein zriyah truma. Planting in the ground is not effective in removing the tumah of truma, since Rabban imposed a greater stringency on truma. All right, so now we go to our simfer daf lamed daled, and our simon is a ladder. So here goes. The detective who climbed the ladder to investigate the case of the replanted tummy truma spotted a suspicious Yisrael walk away, while a kohen who was supposed to be guarding his truma was distracted watching the tummy meachag being placed in a mikvah. Once again, in slow motion. The detective who climbed the ladder. Ladder? That must mean we're on daf lamed daled. The detective who climbed the ladder to investigate the case of the replanted tummy truma spotted a suspicious Yisrael walk away, which reminds us that the daf deals primarily with Rabbi Bar Masa's question on trumos, where it says in the Mishnah, Shesile trumos shenitmu ushasalan, trumi plants became trame and then were replanted, tahorim milatame va'asurin milachol. They are tahor with regard to being matame other things, but they're prohibited to eat. He asks that if they're tahor with regard to being matame other things, why are they prohibited for a kohen to eat? Abaya bar Avin and Chananya bar Avin's answer that it was forbidding the truma to non-kohanim, since it was decreed to prevent non-kohanim from depriving kohanim of their truma by converting it into chun through replanting, was challenged by Rabbi Bar Masna, who said that it was taught already in a different Mishnah. So the detective who climbed the ladder to investigate the case of the replanted tamei truma spotted a suspicious Yisrael walk away, while Cohen, who was supposed to be guarding his truma, which reminds us that the second answer given was that the Mishnah actually meant it was prohibited for the kohanim to eat, since they became invalid through hesach hadas, inattention. The pasuk states regarding truma mishmeres truma sai, which means that the kohanim have been given the responsibility to safeguard truma and kachim as well from becoming tamei, and this requires one not to allow his attention to lapse from this guarding. Since these plants became tamei, it can be assumed that the kohen stopped guarding them against further exposure to truma, and therefore they became rendered invalid. Therefore, even though the tumah is removed through the replanting, they remain invalid to eat. We have a machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, whether hesach hadas is a psul tumah, a psul caused by the possibility of tumah, or a psul haguf, a psul of the truma itself. So the detective who climbed the ladder to investigate the case of the replanted tamei truma spotted a suspicious Yisrael walk away, while Cohen, who was supposed to be guarding his truma, was distracted watching the tamei mehalchag being placed in the mikvah. Which reminds us that Rabbi Yirmi rejected the above answer and explained that water for the chag that became tamei only becomes tahor if hishikan va'achakach hikdishan, when first brought into contact with the mikveh and only afterwards was makdishan. The water being brought into contact with the water is a form of planting which removes its tumah status. Yet, the Rabbanim were stringent and said that it is not effective for water of kadshim. So here too, regarding plants of truma, we should say that ein zriyah truma. Planting in the ground is not effective in removing the tumah of truma, since Rabban imposed a greater stringency on truma. So once again, the detective who climbed the ladder to investigate the case of the replanted tamei truma spotted a suspicious Yisrael walk away, while Cohen, who was supposed to be guarding his truma, was distracted watching the tamei meachag being placed in a mikvah. All right, now it's time for a four-block-back chazara. Daf Lamed. So the Simmer Daf Lamed is a Melamed, is a Rebbe, is a teacher. So here goes. The Rebbe, that must be on Daf Lamed for Melamed. The Rebbe had his class volunteer to smash anyone's earthenware pots before Pesach for free, which reminds us that it's Malchokas Rav and Shmuel whether earthenware pots used for chametz before Pesach need to be broken. Rav says they do, as he rules like Rabbi Yehuda, the chametz after Pesach is asur bahana, and that such leftover chametz will forbid a mixture of similar kind, and although it will be a case of nos and tum of gum, it will impart a rancid flavor. Rav holds that it's still asur. And Shmuel says they do not need to be broken, as he rules like Rabbi Shimon, who holds that mixtures after Pesach are permitted after Pesach. So the Rebbe had his class volunteer to smash anyone's earthenware pots before Pesach for free, as people wait in line to have their ovens fired up, which reminds us we may not need dough with milk, and if one did so, the entire bread made from that dough is forbidden, since it might lead to sin, meaning that one may come to eat it with meat. Similarly, we may not grease an oven with the fatty tail of a sheep, and if one did so, the entire bread in the oven is forbidden until one fires up the oven to burn away the fat. This implies that if the oven is fired up, the bread baked in it subsequently is permitted because the meat flavors in the oven are purged through the firing. So the Rebbe had his class volunteer to smash anyone's earthenware pots before Pesach for free, as people wait in line to have their ovens fired up and to do Hagalas Kalim. Which reminds us that the Gemara discusses the kushering of kalim, such as knives, wooden spoons, earthenware vessels, and that kalim used with chametz while it's cold can be used for matzah on Pesach. Daf Lamed Aleph. So the Simur Daf Lamed Aleph is the law. We use a judge. So here goes. The judge's courtroom. Judge. That must mean one Daf Lamed Aleph. The law. The judge's courtroom was packed with defaulting debtors who claim their creditors used their security deposits retroactively. Which reminds the Gemara introduced some halachos regarding a creditor who holds a mortgage on a borrower's property. Abai said, Bal chov l'mafrehu gove, if the borrower defaults on the debt, the Bal chov collects the property retroactively. Whereas Rava said, Mekana l'abahu gove, he collects the property only from here on. The Gemara clarifies that they argue in a case where the Bal chov either sold or was makdish the property before the loan came due. So the judge's courtroom was packed with defaulting debtors who claim their creditors used their security deposits retroactively, including one man in his pajamas, which reminds us of the rule taught by Rabbi Yitzhak, who said that we derive that a creditor acquires the security that was deposited by him from what's stated in the pasuk regarding a creditor who returns the night clothes of a poor Jew as security for a loan at night, and for you it will be considered tzedakah. Now, if the lender does not acquire the security, on what basis is it considered tzedakah? From here, then, it's right that a creditor acquires the security. This is the basis of Malchus, between the Tanakh and Rav Meir, whether a Jew acquires the security of a Nachri as well. So the judge's courtroom was packed with defaulting debtors who claim their creditors used their security deposits retroactively, including one man in his pajamas who came with his dog that could sniff chametz buried up to 3 tefachim deep. Which reminds us that ruin fell on chametz when Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that if it's buried 3 tefachim deep so that a dog can't search after it and find it, then it's considered removed from the owner's possession and he's not over on Bal Yireh. Daf Lamed Beis. So the Simur Daf Lamed Beis is a mad scientist in his lab. So here goes. The mad scientist in his lab. Mad scientist in his lab? That must mean we're on Daf Lamed Beis. The mad scientist in his lab, who was told he must pay for truma he ate according to value and not volume, which reminds the Gemara, asks what halacha is in general when one consumes truma b'shogeg, where one repays? Lafi mida mishalom or lafi dami mishalom? Does one pay according to the volume of what he ate, or does he repay according to the price? And the Gemara clarifies that the question is only when the value of the produce increased. Do we say he pays according to the measure, even though the value went up, or perhaps if he ate a zoo's worth of truma, that's all that he has to pay, regardless of its volume? So the mad scientist in his lab, who was told he must pay for truma he ate according to the value and not volume, was trying to turn a zoo's worth of figs into a zoo's worth of dates to get a bracha, which reminds us that the price that stated, Achel grogros v'shilomom tamarim, tavolo ala bracha, if one ate b'shogeg dried figs of truma and repaid the kohen with dates, may a bracha come upon him because he acted righteously, is not a proof that he pays according to volume. Abai said that in fact he's repaying according to value, and the reason he should receive a bracha is because he ate something that buyers don't run after and yet repaid with something that buyers do run after. So the mad scientist in his lab, who was told he must pay for truma he ate according to value and not volume, was trying to turn a zoo's worth of figs into a zoo's worth of dates to get a bracha, and experimenting to see if he could make a kazais worth less than a sheva pruta. Which reminds us that it's a malchus tanakama al habashalul whether the minimum amount of truma that one must eat to require paying back the karen and the chomish is a kazais because it says achila in the pasuk, or a sheva pruta because he says venasin and he gave, and an asina isn't less than a sheva pruta. Daf Lamed Gimel. So the simmer Daf Lamed Gimel is a peg leg pirate. A peg leg pirate. So here goes. The peg-leg pirate, that must be on Daf Lamed Gimel. The peg-leg pirate, whose crew died by the hands of heaven for transgressing Me'ilah, which reminds us that 3 reasons were given why Me'ilah, which is Misa B'dei Shemayim, is more severe than Isseri Koris. It is more severe than Isseri Koris not because of the punishment of Misa B'dei Shemayim, but because one would be punished even for eating less than a kazayis of hektish, or it even applies Be'ein Miskaven when a person does not have kavana to use that particular item, such as when a person tries to warm himself with the wool shearing of chulin, but inadvertently warms himself with the wool shearing of a carbon. And the 3rd reason is he's chayv even if he does it in a misasik manner, such as reaching for something and inadvertently anointing his hand with oil of hektish. So the peg-leg pirate, whose crew died by the hands of heaven for transgressing Me'ilah, and who discovered that the truma he separated from chametz on Pesach had no kedusha, which reminds us, if during Pesach one separated produce for truma from something that was already chametz, all agree that it has no kedusha. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak brought the pasuk regarding truma that stays titan lo, you shall give it to him, meaning to the kohen, v'lo le'uro, but not to his fire. This teaches that produce can become truma only if it's fit for the kohen to eat. If it can only be used for burning, then it can't acquire the kedusha of truma. Rav Huna Bar Rav Yeshua learns from the fact that truma is referred to as reishis, the first of your gathered grain, which implies that after truma is taken, its remains must be distinguishable to Yisrael, meaning that it must become permitted to a Yisrael. Where the product remains forbidden for consumption, that which was separated does not take on the Kedusha of Truma. So the peg-leg pirate, whose crew died by the hands of heaven for transgressing Me'ilah, and who discovered that the Truma separated from Chametz on Pesach had no Kedusha, spent his time alone in the ship trying to figure out how to get Tahor juice out of Tamei grapes. Which reminds us, it was said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that in the case of grapes that became Tamei, one presses less than a kabeah of them at a time, and their wine is valid for a libation offering, since food less than a kabeah cannot generate Tumah. This indicates Rabbi Yochanan holds that the juice within the grape is not absorbed, but rather contained by it, like a liquid that fills a container. Rabbi Chisda disagrees and holds that the juice is Tamei, indicating that the juice is absorbed in the grape. And when the grape becomes Tamei, so does the juice. All right, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos, Shabbos, and Erevin. Number 1, which daf of Melachos, whether one who ate chametz of Hekdesh over Pesach has committed Me'ilah? That's on daf Chavtes. Good. Number 2, which daf do you learn that if one ate a zuz worth of figs of Truma and repaid with a zuz worth of dates, he should get a bracha because he repaid with something people run after to buy? That's on daf Lamed Beis. Good. Number 3, which daf do you learn 2 different sources why Truma that was separated from chametz on Pesach has no Kedusha? That's on daf Lamed Gimel. Good. Number 4, which daf do Malchus, Rav and Shmuel, whether pots used for chametz before Pesach need to be broken? That's on daf Lamed. Good. Number 5, which daf do you learn that the Rabban decreed that replanted Tamei Truma remains Truma to prevent non-Kohanim from trying to convert Truma to Chuan through replanting? That's on daf Lamedalad. Good. Number 6, which daf do you have a question? If one consumes Truma Boshogeg, does he repay according to value or volume? That's on daf Lamed Beis. Good. Number 7, which daf do you have the source that a Baal Chob takes possession of the security in his possession from the Pasuk Ucha Tied Stalka? That's on daf Lamedalad. Good. Number 8, which daf do you learn that water for the chag that became tamei only becomes tahor if he shikun va'achachach hikdishan, one first brought into contact with the mikvah before being makdisha? That's on daf Lamedalad. Good. Number 9, which daf do you learn 3 reasons why me'ilah is more severe than an issacharis? That's on daf Lamed Gimel. Good. And number 10, which daf do we have a machok as Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish whether hesach adas is a psul tuma or a psul aguf? That's on daf Lamedalad. Good. Now the 3 bonus questions. Number 1, which daf do we discuss whether the tchum halachas apply above 10 tfachim? That's on daf Mem Gimel and Erevin. Good. Number 2, which daf do we have a machok regarding which avera the makoshesh eitzim did? That's on daf Tzadivav and Shabbos. Good. And number 3, which daf do you learn the 10 requirements for the Koshel Bracha? That's on daf Ninalf and Brachas. Excellent. All right, that concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman from Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.